I've been selling you a soul-sucking lot.
What about?
I've been hiding my true identity. This is just the fraudulent facade of an imposter. I do not like zombie takeout.
Oh my god, I don't like zombie takeout either.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some listeners submitted, of course, from Bodo. This was on Twitter in reaction to our announcement last week that we were taking the week off. Sorry about that. My fault. My mic broke, or I thought my mic broke. I ended up buying a new cable unnecessarily because all I had to do was restart my computer. At least I didn't buy a new mic. Anyway, Bodo said, Crapola. Plus, I watched Demolition Man for no reason, plus tweeted 6 million things about the movie. I think this is the third time Bodo's watched it in preparation. Dude, you've seen the movie. You don't need to watch it again.
That's a good one, John. You really got him good this time.
And for the record, we will be reviewing it the first episode of December will be Demolition Man. We promise. It's not getting pushed back anymore. That which leads us to the schedule coming up, because we've got a week off. next week, we've got a guest coming in. Jen Miller's coming in again for our Halloween show. It's going to be out a day early on Halloween. We're only doing the first 2 weeks of November. We're taking the last week off as well. The last 2 weeks off, obviously, Thanksgiving. And the last week, you've got some stuff. And we're going to be doing a Western two-parter, Silverado and the Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight.
Nah, Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight is not a Western.
Oh, I thought it was a Western.
Nope. Organized crime.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a Western. Okay.
Jerry Orbach does not fit a Western.
Okay, then it's not a Western. My bad. Although, for some reason, I thought that was a Western.
Now I think about it, neither does John Cleese and Danny Glover. And
okay. So we're just going to be doing those two movies, Silverado and The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, in November. December, like I said, Demolition Man. Possibly Maximum Overdrive if we fit a third movie in. And then we're closing with... obviously a Christmas movie that we have yet to pick. So you've been really avoiding and dreading Demolition Man.
Seen it years ago.
Well, same here. I remember liking it, not loving it. It was okay. I'll say right now, I'm probably going to give it like a 2.5 or a 3. But you've really been dreading it. And at this point, I'd say we probably have the same worst of the year. do you think it's going to knock it out?
No. Okay. No, I don't think it could, because aren't we talking about...
Natural Born Killers?
No.
That's not your worst of the year.
I thought we had a double zero this year.
I think it was Natural Born Killers.
No, there has to be worse than that.
I mean, we'll go through. That's my by far worst.
That's your zero. Yeah, that's true. You gave it a zero.
Yeah, I thought you did too. I thought we were both late.
I was a two.
Oh, okay. I totally forgot. Okay, so we'll see if Demolition Man turns out to be your worst of the year.
It could. It very well could. You know what? I don't have any zeros this year. I just noticed that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there was a double zero, because I don't remember adding anything to the avoid list.
I've got a handful of ones.
Yeah, true. You've got some pecking there. Anyway, on to finally this week's movie, which is this year, from this year, 2018, Camp Death 3 in 2D. We were sent an email about this about a month ago that I finally got to a few weeks ago, asking us to review it by the director, Matt Frame. So, and he said in the email that we don't have to like it. Just a heads up, if you're planning to send us to ask us to review either your movie or any movie that you'd like to hear us review, we're under no obligation to like anything.
Well, right. I mean, unless you want to slip us some peril or something, but hey.
I don't think rhymes, but that's up to you. Anyway, without any further ado, on to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Shock Value. It's no substitute for jokes.
And also brought to you by catchphrases. Please don't try to force that, or better yet, fuck your catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we begin with, I guess a recap of a prequel that does not exist.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a Thanksgiving 3 thing.
I mean, it would have been better if they just let it go, you know, and you know, we were in the sequel, and I think everybody got that there was no prequel to this movie.
Well, so, they're kind of, sort of, well, not a prequel, but an earlier version. We'll get to that later.
I don't think it has anything to do with this movie.
Well, we'll get to that later. I actually kind of liked the beginning, but continue.
Well, yeah, I was kind of, there were a lot of headlines, and I was kind of like, are we supposed to be, like, paying attention to this kind of thing? Because, I mean, you go in knowing you're looking at it like a Zucker-type movie, you know? Mm-hmm. You're coming into this knowing that you're looking at an airplane, you know, police squad sort of deal. So paying attention to a backstory is not on the high list of priorities. So that being said, they go through this backstory, and now they're reopening this camp that had murders at it in the previous years for the mentally insane.
Camp Crystal Meth, M-E-P-H.
Yes, yes.
I kind of got a kick out of it.
And they are, well, they. It's kind of this whiny guy who's just very emotional and putting this together. And he has his friends that are being, you know, his male and female lead counselors. And then he's got his uncle, who I'm not sure if they actually wrote this guy anything or if he just improvised.
And if he did improvise, he really liked that one line.
Yeah. I think they just gave him that line and he was forced to repeat that because they thought that was so funny. Mm-hmm. And I was getting very professorial about comedy during this 15 minutes about what was wrong here and why there isn't the need of a straight man and
but you really analyzed it. I just rant about it in my notes.
And so I'm just trying to figure out, because I mean, I needed something to do to pass the time. I figure this is going to be like an 80 something minute, you know.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Yeah, full disclosure, at about 20 minutes in, I messaged Scott on Facebook and said, what do we do if one of us taps out? Because we've never really talked about how the review would go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing to do would just be to just go with it, you know? I mean, we'll figure it out when we get here.
Neither of us did tap out, but it got real close for a minute there.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to tap out. I knew I didn't like it, but I wasn't ready to tap out. And I was, then I figured out at the 20 minute mark, my notes actually say, on the other hand, I can't remember the last movie I was this happy to see the killer arrive.
I was rooting for the killer.
Absolutely. And that's when I figured out what they were doing. The killer is actually the protagonist of this movie somehow. I mean, they even, so anyway, yes, the killer appears and he goes to work quite efficiently. In fact, so much so that he does not actually do a lot of killing. It's just the campers themselves being so stupid and killing themselves.
And he murders a few of them, but
he does murder some of them. He gets them into situations where they're risky, but they're dumb enough to get into it themselves. You know, when someone's got a van and they're going to run you down, and you can't run very fast because she couldn't, get off the road.
That's when it got good for me.
Of course, exactly. That is exactly. Once that killer shows up, and there's a scene I really don't want to spoil that just made me fucking, like, I thought I was going to be sitting through this stone face for the entire time. And then this one scene comes up with the roughest camper there. It was worth worth the suffering to get to the part. Mm-hmm. But you don't see it coming.
Anyway, killing spree.
So yeah, the killing spree goes, they have a lot of fun with those. And it turns out,
it just gets properly weird at the end.
Yeah, you can't spoil this, really, because it's just so weird. You'll have to see this for yourself. It's a person behind the killing is a person we don't actually really see much of in the movie, and it's...
They set it all up, but
forget about it after a while, and then it is just so absurd and so weird. And one of my favorite lines is at the end, why did they put you in the Santa suit? And they never explained.
No, he just has no idea.
and of course, the other favorite part that bought this a brain to get the killer at the end, he does the crane.
Yeah, no.
I had to rewind it. Wait, did he just do the crane?
You're a sucker for the crane. I'm kind of tired of that move. It's kind of a dull joke. But anyway, hilarity ensues. Now, I liked the first 4 minutes. The whole thing with the puppet. I love, the puppet really reminded me of Thanksgiving 3. And I loved that everything was in black and white except the puppet. Also, the first 18 seconds were just blank screen and screaming and scary music. It was a nice touch. And the voiceover during the opening titles kind of kept my attention. I loved that the puppet escaped from jail. And then the movie proper starts. The present day stuff starts.
Yeah.
I'll just start it off with the thing that I can't... The reason that Skin is not like the Reckless for me. The repeated abuse and mocking of a disabled guy.
Yeah,
He was on the ground flailing with his feet mixed up in his chair at one point. For most of it, out of control, rolling down hills.
It's a comedic term I used to call the donk. I think we even explained it a long time ago from a dungeon. It was 10 years before Kenny on South Park, but it was pretty much he was kind of the Kenny in this.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a guy in a wheelchair, and I'm in a wheelchair, so I took some exception to that. For me, it's 16 minutes because it's, the 4 minute mark is when the credits end. And then the 20 minute mark is when it started improving. Those 16 minutes, it's just third rate trauma.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. I didn't think of tapping out. I just thought it was going to be going to be a long 82 minutes.
It's the disabled guy. It's the campers are just ridiculous stereotypes with no explanations or even jokes around them. The gruff camp owner, Uncle Mel, just got really old after one scene.
Yeah. I don't know if it's his fault. I don't know if they ruined anything for him.
I did like him seeing him get attacked by the squirrel.
Well, all squirrels, I think everyone can agree that all squirrels should be killed on sight.
I don't really have an issue with them, but okay.
And if you don't agree with that, you've never had one sneak into your house or apartment before.
Okay, that's fair.
Because those motherfuckers are evil.
But the scene where they're introducing themselves, it was like a beginning improv class.
Right, yeah. So it was all... There was nobody tying it down, There was nobody bringing it together.
It seemed like it was just crass for the sake of being crass.
And it was, and you're kind of like, well, Police Squad had Leslie Nielsen, who played everything fucking deadpan, I write this whole thing in my notes. I'm not going to go ahead, thing, but it's about it brings up the Laurel and Hardy shin kicking scene
And I've always been the straight man. We were a double act, a comedy double act from
Good Morning.
And we specifically did that on the Tuesday afternoon show. And I've traditionally been the straight man. And I didn't even pick up on, there's no straight man.
Well, no.
Try to make Todd the straight man, but it doesn't really work.
You need somebody. Well, no, he's not. He's fucking, he's like this whiny bitch that you just want, see bad things happen to. And there's no straight person to make you believe this could actually happen until... The killer shows up.
Yeah, the killer is
the straight man. That's fucking brilliant. I mean, we had to wait 15 minutes or 20 minutes for
him. And when he shows up, I love his weapons. He pulls out a spatula, throws it at one of the girls, and it's got blades carved into it.
Yes.
And then he has a weaponized toaster.
The toaster.
It's not plugged in, but it's
Born that toast fast.
But it's clearly not plugged in. And then he just starts swinging it around like a martial arts weapon.
Yeah.
By the plug. There was a random musical number, but which I usually love. This didn't do it for me.
I loved this.
You like the musical number?
Yes, I did. It was so out of left field.
The last gag with the disabled guy I liked. One of the female counselor sees him at the bottom of a pool, pulls him out. Turns out he was just meditating down there.
Yeah.
And he just rolls back into the water. Love that gag. I was kind of relieved that he died first because that meant no bad jokes about him.
Yeah.
And then I have in my notes, the only way I could like this movie is if the killer won. Which almost happened.
Yeah. It's very weird how, this goes from like disorganized and boring kind of to.
Or worse.
To like, you know, funny and crazy with the killer comes in.
Love the slow motion chase.
And then it gets really weird. Yeah. So if you don't like this movie, just give it some time.
Yeah.
It's kind of the moral of the story. I've never seen a movie do this.
And just before the part that won me over, the slow motion chase, the cop stabbing himself to death was almost funny.
Oh my god, I love that.
You like that? I almost laughed at that because the killer attacks him and he starts critiquing the killer's knife attack.
Exactly.
And takes out a knife and starts stabbing himself.
And the fact that you can't see any of it—it's just the killer mask vision kind of.
And you get a little blood splatter.
He's pretty much doing like the Braveheart disembowelment of himself. I mean, normally you'd be like, oh my god, that, you know, if someone did that to him, it would be terrible. But the fact that he's doing it to himself is pretty damn funny.
Also, the sink. Was the sink off for you at points? Because I think that was deliberate.
Right, there's definitely a... I think... I don't know if it's deliberate or not. Were they trying to emulate the gods must be crazy? Because it reminded me a lot of that, the filming style.
Randomly in the middle of the movie, the sink is just off for some reason for a while. And, I mean, this was a screener copy. It couldn't have been, I know, a flaw in the copy. It had to be, I figured it had to be intentional. Matt Frame, you're probably going to watch this review. So if that's not intentional, you might want to work, replace your screener copy. I mean, if it's not meant to be there, it's a bad copy. But
well, because the speed was a lot like the gods must be crazy, where things were sped up comically,
Yeah.
But then again, you're right. What if it's just a bad screener copy?
Either way, kind of worked for me.
Okay.
I loved that the squirrel finally killed Mel.
Yeah.
The squirrel taunts him into driving headlong at these big rocks into the side of a cliff.
Yeah, it gets a little Caddyshack with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the squirrel was totally Caddyshack.
Which really didn't fit the film, honestly. It was just something to get rid of him without the killer getting rid of him.
And speaking of not fitting the film, speeder bikes suddenly show up.
I love the speeder bikes.
And this is when when we saw the trailer, lost it on the speeder bikes.
Yeah.
We were both kind of like, okay, whatever. And then the speeder bike showed up and we lost it.
Bikes were a great touch.
And they went out of their way to not say speeder bikes.
Yes.
They described them every other possible way except speeder bikes.
I wonder if Lucas has that copyrighted. They can't. Bike? That's too generic.
But they were kind of playing it as they couldn't say it because presumably a copyright thing. They also never said lightsabers.
Yeah.
Of course, the one guy looks down the barrel of the lightsaber as he turns it on. Because he turns it on, he's riding in the back of this girl's driving his speeder bike. And he, first time he turns the lightsaber on, of course, it's pointed right at her head. So she gets killed. And then as he's trying to figure out how to turn it on, he looks right down the barrel. Which is what Luke did, so I that was a nice reference.
I like that the killer was trying to instruct him how to use the lightsaber. That was fucking brilliant. That made the scene, honestly. Yeah, I mean, the reference is great in itself, but the killer's like, here.
trying to
without tell saying any words, of course.
Right, of course. Also love that the squirrel turned out to be a cokehead.
Yeah, what was the deal? Did he, OD, the Aussie girl?
I think so.
Is that what happened there?
he kind of, you know, reverse snorted a bunch of cocaine at her, like covered her in cocaine, and she died.
That was really weird.
And the and Rachel's story about being attacked by feedback. Love that.
Yeah.
The killer just pulls out a microphone and a little amplifier, puts the microphone next to the amplifier, and just attempts to kill her with feedback. Which is, well, which comes back at the end. Don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how much we want to spoil, but at the ending, but the three killers, we find out there are three killers. Of course, Johan, who we knew from the beginning, who was one of the killers.
Johan Van Damme.
His mother, who is part of his whole backstory. We get a bit of a Basil exposition moment in the middle of the film. And it's just her severed head on these two propellers on a hat. Love that.
Yeah.
And then the other killer, who and I think that's who you don't want to spoil. The third killer.
Yeah, it's all just a really weird climax that you have to see for yourself, honestly.
And I loved how that one killer was apologizing to Todd while they were attacking.
Right.
And then he runs off. I forget the context. I just have it in my notes. I have fire.
Yes, he chases after the killer because he has fire, but that fire blows out. So, of course, the killer's coming back after him.
He just runs after yelling, "I have fire, I have fire," and then it blows out.
It's like this Benny Hill on acid thing, the whole climax at the end where a disembodied head flying around. I mean, they somehow
end up on an island.
Right.
And
where the killer comes to also, like, you know, and he's like, huh? So, yeah, they literally make the killer the protagonist of the story, the straight man and the protagonist somehow.
And I don't know how. I love the kind of wobbly closing credits.
Yes. At first I was like, oh, it's not. Oh, they did that on purpose.
On to sequels and remakes.
Now, yeah, this is really weird. Cause...
this seems to be either a remake or a re-release of Camp Death 3, The Final Summer, which was released in 2016. Same storyline, same cast. I don't know if they just re-released it under another name or if they remade it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. And one of the guys from, I think it was Tucker and Dale versus Evil, did a short film like 10 years ago with the same name.
Well, it's probably a fairly common name, Camp Death.
Yeah.
All right, On to Brains.
On to Brains.
I can't give it Reckless because of that 20 minutes and particularly the disabled jokes, but I'm going to get as close as I can without 3.5. It redeemed itself for the most part.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, just that 20 minutes was brutal. So no, I can't wreck it either. And I mean, it's funny, but it's stupid, but it's still funny. So I'm going 3.
All right. And what have we learned?
New Jersey is the perfect place to set a set of comedy.
And I learned that you really can't judge a movie by the first 20 minutes, which sounds like an obvious thing to say, but I do tend to do that. I often think I know exactly where a movie's going to go at this point by, you know, by the first half hour. But
it was like the reverse of Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket, the first sequence where they're in basic, that's the greatest part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Once that's done, you can just shut it off. Don't really need to see them in Vietnam.
All right, that's it for Camp Death 3 in 2D. Until next time, and we'll be reviewing Stitches with Jen Miller. As I mentioned, this is our Halloween episode.
I hear Stitches get them.
It'll be out a day early on Halloween. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.